guys, welcome to the 32nd episode of the Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today, we're happy to welcome both Luke and Jacob from the Modern Horrors podcast. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us so much.
Yep, we're looking forward to it.
We're so happy to have you guys. We love you guys.
Aw, we like you guys.
Aw. If you guys aren't familiar with Modern Horrors for some reason, you should check it out. They have an amazing website with lots of modern horror articles and interesting facts. They also have a great YouTube channel and a bunch of cool stuff. So check them out. In addition to their podcast, lots of good stuff from those guys.
We appreciate all those wonderful lies.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Ever.
I don't think so. I love your website. I show it to my friends that like horror movies because I'm like, check out their website. It's sweet. They got cool stuff on there.
Well, yeah, we try. Full disclosure, a lot of that we don't handle. there's other people for that. But yeah, for sure. We'll take credit. No problem.
You help run it, though. It was like your baby, right?
I mean, I don't know if you saw the recent conversation from our group chat, but we spend most of our time talking about slug penises.
It's a lot of it.
When we say manage and run, really, we're just keeping morale high over there.
The loosest of terms.
I'd really like to hear more about these slug penises, but maybe on another episode.
Sure. That's impressive. Next time. It is. I'll say this. I mean, it is fucking impressive.
You can't fathom it until you see it.
All right. You guys are just trying to poach our listeners now with your slug penis talk. I don't appreciate that.
Just kidding. Amazing.
So today we are going to be discussing Annabelle. No one has ever said that about Annabelle. Which is a Modern Horrors, Jacob and Luke's fan favorite.
I mean, that's strong. And,
yeah, that's a little hard.
You love it. It's your favorite. And then we'll also be discussing Oculus. Which Carly, where are you at, girl? You need to have our back. You're supposed to be our cheering section.
Yay!
You're a really terrible cheerleader. We've discussed this on many occasions.
It's true.
Which, anyway, Oculus is a Final Girls fan favorite, so it'll be a fun little discussion. We'll just kind of dive in. As I said on our previous episode, we love and respect the Modern Horrors guys, but we also think that they're crazy. So it'll be a fun conversation. And with all due respect, it will be a very respectful episode.
Discussion.
Just kidding.
We didn't sign up for that.
Whoa, yeah. What is this respect nonsense?
Okay. Okay, so before we get into any of that, let's get started with the segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Our trailer for today is Dark Tower, with a release date of August 4th, directed by Nicolaj Arcel and written by Nicolaj Arcel, Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Pinkner, Anders Thomas Jensen.
Nailed it.
All of that. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. You guys can be on my show anytime. Based on the novel written by Stephen King, obviously, or four novels, rather, written by Stephen King. The plot of this film is the gunslinger, Roland Deschain, roams an old west-like landscape where the world has moved on in pursuit of the man in black, also searching for the fabled Dark Tower in the hopes that reaching it will preserve his dying world. Are you guys at all familiar with the Dark Tower?
I read mostly the first book.
I haven't read the books.
Then gave up.
Did you say you read most of it, Jacob?
Most of it, but then I gave up. I don't know.
I mean, how many books did you get into till you gave up?
The first one. I know people love it. I really do. And it's kind of cool and it should be my shit. But for whatever reason, I don't know. And I have an issue with Stephen King sometimes. As much as I love his ideas and most of his novels, he sometimes gets a little, for lack of a better word, tedious. And that one just became tedious for me. Send your hate mail to jacob@modernhorrors.com.
No, I kind of agree with that. How about you, Luke? Are you familiar with Dark Tower at all?
I don't read per se. Okay. Very much. So no, the only exposure to this I have is everyone else seeming to love it so fucking much. And I knew that it's this big epic that sprawls over multiple books. So I have a lot of questions on how that ties into the movie, because in typical modern horror fashion, I did as least amount of like research as possible before I came on the show to talk about it. So all I know is I watched the longest fucking trailer on earth. But I guess that's apropos if it's stretched over four fucking books. There's plenty to get to, right?
Seven books, actually.
Oh, shit. Seven books.
Goddamn.
Yeah, no, I that's the good thing about guesting on a podcast is you don't actually have to research any of it. there's seven books and I know absolutely nothing about it either. But it looks interesting. It's weird. I know it has, I was reading about it and apparently there's going to be either many movies or, a couple movies and a TV show or something. So that we get all of the stories. But this looks like it's basically starting with the Gunslinger story and then kind of mixing in some of the other stories. Again, I'm not super familiar with it. It was just something I read about. So I know I'm not the expert, hardly the expert here. But I don't really love big budget horror movies, like Hollywood horror movies or
well,
like.
Let's take a step back on that real quick, because do we really, I mean, Stephen King, yeah. But from what I've seen, which is limited, granted, but are we going to call this a horror movie, really?
No, you're right. I mean, this one doesn't look like a horror movie.
I mean, it looks cool.
It is written in the whatever quote-unquote genre list on IMDb. Horror is written in there, along with thriller and Western and a couple other things.
Sure.
But I'm sure there's horror elements. But yeah, it doesn't really look like my cup of tea. I'm not really that excited about it, to be honest with you.
It just looks like it's going to be like a huge epic. I think I saw some monsters in there. I don't know. Well, I guess it didn't excite me, I guess, even though I really like Idris Elba. I like that guy.
I don't know who that is.
The guy that plays the gunslinger.
No.
Oh, okay.
Run that shit back. Do not say you don't know who Idris Elba is. He's awful.
I don't know actor names. He's like great. Carly knows actor names. Carly throws out actor names like it's nobody's business. She's
he was
always
married
like,
to Beyonce in a movie.
What?
Just claim to fame. He was also on The Office. Relevant?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
all I got to say is he was
clicked,
on The Office.
Didn't it? It clicked.
And now I know who he is. Well, he looks different without his mustache.
Okay. Damn it. It's like that old movie where they just put the mustache on and like no one can figure out who the hell that is.
Totally different Clark guy. Kansas, right. Totally different guy.
That's how my brain goes. You're welcome.
I don't know, like, I think to me, this isn't my cup of tea either. I'll agree with Amy on that one, but it's, I don't know, it looks interesting if nothing else, and I'm a huge McConaughey fan. I just don't know if I enjoy or will enjoy seeing him in this particular type of role, like as this omniscient demon badass guy sort of character. I'm just so used to seeing him as something else entirely, and I'm not sure that what I saw in the trailer here works for me. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, kind of what I got the feel from is that this is going to be such a long series that, you know, sometimes the first film just sets everything up and it's not that exciting. So I wonder if they're going to mix it up in enough ways that it doesn't just become a, I don't know, sit and learn about this shit so the rest of the movies are cool.
Yeah, I mean, but that's risky, right? Because if you do that and then it doesn't perform well theatrically, then you don't get to tell the rest of your story. So
totally, totally.
I really agree with Luke on, I like Matthew McConaughey as well, but I wasn't into like his character in this. I don't know. Like, not that he couldn't pull it off, but that just, it just doesn't play well for me, I guess.
Yeah, there's Matthew McConaughey is kind of hit and miss with me.
Well, first and foremost, fuck all you
is
guys.
Is it that weird Southern pride thing you guys got going on?
Well, probably. Maybe a little bit.
We are Marshall.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, fuck y'all. Yeah. I was excited, and I was not excited about a Dark Tower movie. I gave two fucks less, and then I see Idris Elba just fucking slinging bullets into goddamn revolvers and catching them midair and stuff, and super fast loading, murking motherfuckers from like 100 yards out without looking.
It was impressive.
Dude, I was hype. Now, not in a horror movie kind of hype way, but like, holy fuck, it's like a dark Marvel Universe kind of thing.
See,
like,
that's
big
exactly
budget.
What it looked like to me. This looks like it fit way more into like a world of like a Doctor Strange,
right?
Or something like that,
totally.
Than like a, what you would consider like a typical Stephen King universe to be. But fuck it. Like, as long as it's cool, that's all that matters. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. And I don't think that horror tag on IMDb fits, but it might be entertaining. A popcorn flick, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just not that into action. So if it's like an action film, I'm going to be like, eh.
Well, based on your love of Oculus, I know you're not into action. Go ahead and get some early shots in real quick. But
love Oculus. Don't even start. We'll get there. Let me drink some more. I'll get real fiery real fast.
Yeah,
yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Let's get started with Annabelle. You guys ready for Annabelle 2014? The IMDb summary is, a couple begins to experience terrifying supernatural occurrences involving a vintage doll shortly after their home is invaded by satanic cultists. It's directed by John Leonetti, who is a cinematographer for Insidious and The Conjuring, and his previous directorial efforts consisted of Mortal Kombat Annihilation and The Wonderful Butterfly Effect 2, soon to also be Wish Upon, which is coming out this year. It's written by Gary Dauberman, who wrote Annabelle Creation, the new It, he helped write that, and also The Nun, which is coming out. It's the 2018 Conjuring 2 spinoff.
They're really just milking it with these Conjuring movies.
Fuck. this universe is...
expanding rapidly.
Yes. How do you guys feel about the Conjuring universe?
So, I mean, I guess we can kind of kick things off a little bit with an unexpected connection to the Conjuring universe that Jacob discovered.
So on our last episode, we reviewed Wolves at the Door, which, you know, same director as Annabelle. And since it was so fresh in my mind, I was watching and I was like, this character looks familiar. Turns out, same guy plays the exact same detective in Wolves at the Door, which is a Manson family, the Sharon Tate murders film.
Huh.
That plays the detective that shows up in the beginning of this film, which is kind of fun because it means that, you know, Annabelle lives in the same universe as this other movie, this Manson family murder kind of movie.
And while you're watching the opening 20 minutes of Annabelle, you're talking about the Tate and LaBianca murders in the background. So in a way, Wolves at the Door is actually part of the expanded Conjuring universe. So it's even bigger than people realize.
That's interesting.
And how do you feel about that? I mean, that's really interesting, but the Conjuring universe is kind of taking over, and I feel like the films are kind of losing steam the more we get. I mean, personally, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the more installments you get into anything, it's going to lose steam. You know, I don't think that's exclusive to the Conjuring universe. It's just
not a
price of doing business, right? So, I mean, I agree, but at the same time, I think they're the types of movies that, as box office results proved, it's a fucking successful recipe, right? So they keep on raking in the money. I'm sure Annabelle 2, regardless of how many people shit all over the original one, like, people are gonna flock to the movies to watch Annabelle 2.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're gonna flock there.
Flock.
They're so excited about it.
Yes.
Migrate.
Lines out like a fucking iPhone launch. They're gonna be out there.
Well, I agree with that because I think a lot of people who go see horror movies are just looking for jump scares. I mean, I personally think that a lot of the people going to see horror movies today want to be jump scared out of their seats and then leave and move on with their lives. And that's what you get from these kinds of movies. There's not a lot of substance, and especially Annabelle. I find Annabelle
to be... based on true events. It's life. It's real. It's reality. What are you talking about?
It's not based on true events. It's based on false events that someone made up.
It said it in the trailer and on the poster.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, my bad. They must be telling the truth.
Well, here's my thing with jump scares. So for a jump scare to actually be anywhere near effective, there has to be some sort of atmosphere built around it. I mean, you'll get the random just boo, and it will get a certain population, but I don't really think Annabelle falls into this movie where it's just, you know, just boo, 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 left and right. There are a couple, like, with the window scares, and there's a loud, you know, hit of the strings, but for the most part, some of this is built up with suspense. You know, me and Luke were talking about when she's in the storage room down below. There's a lot of build up in that particular section.
Yeah, and
you mean when the movie turned into Lights Out? for a minute. And
except
then,
it was before Lights Out?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh,
it totally was. No, it totally was. I agree. But it basically was Lights Out for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But there's also that opening 20 minutes of this movie that I fucking loved. Absolutely. When they're talking about the cult, and there's that shot where they're laying in bed and you can see through their window into the neighbor's house. And then you see that murder happen right next door. Like that whole section, part of what I was talking about at Wolves at the Door was that the violence seemed like that cat and mouse is so scripted and elongated for just the sake of having a longer movie. But in Annabelle, you know, it is fast. It is visceral. It is quick and violent and gross. And I thought that was really, really cool. Like one of the best Manson-esque tellings in a movie happens within the first 20 minutes of Annabelle, of all fucking places. So,
and then dies off and never returns again. And that was the most interesting part of the whole movie.
For sure. For sure. It was.
I was definitely on board with the movie before they moved. Like, I thought the first, like, 20 minutes or however long it was, before they moved out of the house, was great. And then it's kind of where it fell off for me. But while I was watching it this time, especially because we have the new trailer for Annabelle Creation, the Annabelle wasn't, I mean, in this movie, wasn't possessed before the daughter, like, put her soul into it, though, was she? And like, so now they're coming out with another creation movie, so I was kind of confused about where these guys, like,
you haven't seen the movie, Carly, you don't know. It's gonna tie in,
it's
somewhere.
Gonna randomly all of a sudden make sense.
Now, in fairness, though, whatever,
like, where are we going with this?
Whatever faults may lie with Annabelle 2, that's not Annabelle's fault.
That's true.
Fair enough.
Okay, so we will disregard that comment, but however, Carly, that is 100% valid and good job. it makes absolutely no sense.
So let me throw this up to you guys real quick. I mean, sure. So I'm watching this movie and I tried to go in open-minded, right? Because but before coming onto this show, like, I had only seen Oculus once and I had only seen Annabelle once in theaters, right? Okay. So I was going in with an open mind, trying to see like why people don't like this. Like, why would you like so many other horror movies in mainstream America, and why shit on Annabelle? So I'm going in with an open mind, but I don't get it, because the cinematography is really fucking good.
Fucking great.
The acting is solid. The effects are rad. Like when the daughter is like running through the room, then she turns into an adult, like when she smashes through the door. That's dope. Like, so many of these things are so cool, like little gags. And yeah, you could crudely classify them as quote unquote jump scares, but they're so much more than that. Like what Jacob was saying, you can't execute a successful jump scare without having some sort of atmosphere or, you know, dread built upon that. And I think Annabelle does a good job of that, like way better than so many other movies that we see. Better than fucking Dark Tower. More horror than Dark Tower.
Dark Tower's a trailer, bitch. You can't even bring that in now.
You don't know what we've seen. You don't know.
Okay, well, here's where I'll start, and then Carly can
please
jump
do.
In. I agree. The beginning of this movie is great, and then it just fucking falls off the face of the planet. It's so tropey. It's really original, and then just like they handed it off to a different writer, and then it's just filled with all the horror tropes that you've seen in every fucking movie since the beginning of time. The ending especially, nothing makes me more angry than the ending of this movie. It's the wise old black woman. Like, even putting aside the wise old black woman trope, which is horrible, and I find I think it's like offensive and shitty. But there's also like this element of she's going to risk her. She's going to take her own life for this wonderful white family so that they can find happiness in the 60s when there's no race issues going on at all. And also, like, they pay absolutely no respect to her at the end of the movie. The priest gives them a picture, and I'm thinking, surely it's going to be a picture of the amazing woman that saved their lives. No, no, it's a picture of the mother and the daughter. Go fuck yourself, this movie. This movie is horrible. I especially hate the ending.
So we're going to ask you to open up your mind and dig a little bit deeper over what you had just discussed. Jacob, please.
All right. So I think, and if you're not familiar, we do this series occasionally, and I mean very, very occasionally, called Fright Logic, where we dig a little deeper into some of the little odds and ends that filmmakers put in, and you just kind of don't notice at first. And I would like to present to you a mini Fright Logic episode, if you will, real quick. So I think Evelyn is one of the most misunderstood characters in Annabelle for a multitude of reasons. First, when we see Evelyn at the bookstore, what do you see first and foremost in this window? A book of satanic bullshit, right? when she comes out the door, what happens? This big gust of wind that only happens when this demon comes around. So we've got this, what the fuck's up with Evelyn? I don't think she's quite as good as you want to think she is. Evelyn just so happens to show up at Mia's house when the demon decides to go full force after her. And if you notice, Evelyn is dressed just like Annabelle. She's got a white dress on with a red sash. Coincidence? Not really sure. And not done yet, motherfuckers. The demon in Annabelle's like name fishing. Is Azazel. Or Azazel? A-Z-A-Z-E-L? Mm-hmm. Fuck, I don't give a fuck how it's pronounced. Anyways, this demon in particular, as lore would have it, taught men how to do metalworking. And in particular, jewelry, bracelets, things like that. Evelyn happens to be really proud of this very intricate necklace pendant that she always wears. And she's talking about how her daughter was Mia's age when she died. But the only picture she has is in this locket that is of a baby. So the same age as, what's the baby's name? Leah?
Yeah.
Leah. So what I think it is that Evelyn is into all this demonic worship, probably in the same kind of cult as the Higgins chick from the beginning. And she sacrificed her daughter, but didn't get to go along on the ride. And so now she's found an opportunity to hop in. So she's not really doing it for selfish reasons. And this is her way to sacrifice herself to this demon that she's got a hard on for.
That is so reaching. I can't even respond to it.
The clues are all there.
The clues are there. Go ahead and dispute. You can't just say reaching, though. You have to dispute with facts. Go ahead and dispute with facts.
They're not facts. They are things that you came up with to support that this film has any kind of substance, which it does not.
So you're just saying it was a random filmmaking choice for her to be dressed just like Annabelle at the end.
And for it to slowly pan on this book of occult worship and for the gust of wind to flow out behind her and for her just so fucking happen to show up to the apartment
it's so reaching. Come on, guys.
Taking the things and being like, what are the fucking odds? Yeah, what are the fucking odds? Because it was very deliberate. The reason
so
that
you're
she showed
saying
up.
That everyone who went and saw Annabelle, this film that made hundreds of millions of dollars, so much money, is somehow in tune to the fact that Evelyn is a demon worshiper who wanted to sacrifice herself for this demon and had nothing to do with this family that she so loved. She's taking care of this baby. She loves this baby. There's no evidence that she is a demon worshiper other than the fact that she owns a bookstore that has a demon fucking book in the window. Like, come on. A gust of wind is not anything. Oh, like, it's not.
Gust of wind?
This film has no substance.
In a three-second freeze frame on the Book of Occult.
You're reaching.
These filmmakers love this shit. All right, let me give you an example. One of our favorite movies is Let Us Pray, and we uncovered a subplot that ran underneath that was based on Chinese mythology, and it's based on one screen that lasts maybe 1 second.
Let me ask you a question.
So, I mean, it turned out to be true because we talked to the filmmakers, the directors, the writers, and they were like, holy shit, you found that. I mean, they just love doing that kind of
stuff. So what you're doing essentially is literally judging a book by its cover instead of seeing what's really there beneath the surface. And I take offense to that.
I'm not looking at the trailer. I'm watching the fucking movie multiple times. Also,
saw it twice.
Not the same thing at all. Also, so if these writers are so fucking smart and have so much substance that they want to put in this movie, why are they fucking burying it under loads of garbage and horror tropes that nobody fucking cares about
anymore?
So
they can rake in $200 million globally over mainstream audiences.
It's bullshit. No one cares. Like, I don't care. Even if that's true, I still don't fucking care about it. I, like, still think that they abused Evelyn as, like, some kind of stupid horror trope. And I also think that this movie is just covered in, oh, look at the scary demon holding the doll and she's levitating. It's so scary.
It
and
worked really well
for people getting
Insidious.
Dragged and growling. And I'm just so tired of it. It's boring. No one cares. It's not even scary. It's not even as scary as Conjuring or Conjuring 2. There's nothing of substance here. And if you want to dig that far down to find substance, like I could find substance in fucking Chucky 5. Like, I don't, doesn't, like, it's the same
for
shit.
For what it's
it
worth,
Leonetti matter.
Was a cinematographer on Chucky 3. There's some hidden shit in that
there
as well.
There you go.
I didn't know about that. Carly, how about your thoughts?
Well, like I said, I really liked the beginning of this movie. If the...
I love you so much.
Yeah. I think that if, like, what you just said is true. That's really cool.
Oh, it is.
I wish that it was more prevalent. I really do, because that like would make this movie a little bit more interesting. And I don't know, like, I didn't really like the main character. I didn't like her husband. They were just kind of boring and like always in need of help. And I don't know, like, it just nothing. I mean, I just watched this movie and I don't even really remember anything that happened in it. I do think that when the Mia sees the little girl and she turns into like the adult cult lady, that's really cool. Like, there's certain things that are really cool about this movie, but I just, there was really nothing that I really connected with me on. I agree with Amy in the fact that, like, when, is her name Evelyn?
Yes.
Just comes in at the end of the movie and decides to, like, take her place. It all just seems sort of out of place and out of nowhere. It's just, I don't know. Like, it does. This movie is not for me.
It does.
It's really superficial. It's really surfacey.
Yeah.
And if that's true, that would be cool. But you have to do a whole fucking, like, frightmare logic, whatever, on it to, like, and, like, do hours and hours and probably months of research to find some kind of substance in this film. Like, Like, no one's doing that. Research. People are going to the theater looking for a good movie, and there's nothing here that makes me think, oh, there's definitely substance to this movie. Let me spend hours to try to figure out what the fuck they're trying to do here. I'm not interested. It's not interesting enough for me to care.
So I would kind of cross that with, like, say a band that you love, right? That someone might just hear, like, a trendy fucking melody with a groovy little bass line and, like, a percussive clapping happening in the background. And that's all they hear. Like, they really get into it, right? But you listen to those lyrics and you really understand that it's more than just a tasty riff or some sort of melodic masterpiece. There's substance beneath all of that that means so much more, that someone that wrote it spent so much time on. And you have to kind of respect that. You have to kind of respect that these people that write these screenplays and these scripts, they slave over these things. And they're like, they're children. You know, I don't know how many writers that you've had the opportunity to speak to, but they are constantly throwing in this little subconscious shit that maybe even the producers don't even know about. Like, they're doing this for themselves. Respect the process, Amy.
Dude, I totally respect the process. I don't respect what Hollywood does to the process, and I don't respect this movie. I don't doubt that the character, that the writers might not have had something deeper in mind, and I wouldn't put it beyond the people who create the Conjuring universe to fucking dumb it down and make it this. And I understand where you're coming from, and I respect the research you did to it. And if that's true, then sure, I think it's reaching, but I don't doubt that you guys didn't do the research and really think this. And I don't doubt that the writer might not have had more in mind, but either way, that shit doesn't come across and it needs to. It's not a fucking little ditty. It's a fucking horror movie.
That's a shameful way to put it.
I'm sorry, but it's true. And it's not a good horror movie. It's not anything that I watch and am interested in. But that's, again, I respect your opinion. So I don't agree with it at all.
Let's put you in the shoes of a modern horror's staff writer, and you have to review this movie. And so we've got a review process that kind of forces you to be honest about it. And you have to look at each individual review item as its own thing, independent of the rest of the movie. And this is the best way to keep it honest. So just based purely on the acting of Annabelle, out of 1 through 10, what would you give this movie just on acting alone?
On acting alone, probably like a 6.
Okay, fair enough. Carly, what would you give it?
I would probably give it a 6 or a 7.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fair. So cinematography, the look of it, what would you give it on that?
Like a 7.5.
Okay.
Agreed, enough. 7.
7, okay. What else we got on that one, Luke? The story. This is probably where you're going to really knock it, but the story of this.
Maybe like a 3 or 4.
Okay, damn.
We'll go low, say 3.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Same.
Carly?
Yeah.
Same, okay.
Calibrated.
Hashtag calibrated. And then the last one gets to be kind of your own X factor of things. What should we do for that, Luke?
What would you say, scare factor?
This is
theatrical horror bullshit, so yeah, scare factor. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how effective do you think the intent, which was here probably jump scares, how effective were those jump scares?
Probably like 5.
Okay. Carly, you agree?
I'd do 6. Yeah.
Okay, 5 or 6. We'll go low and say 5. All right, so let me do some quick adding and subtracting here. So that gives you a total of 5.25. So we'll just round it down to say a 5, which on our scale makes it an average movie, an average horror movie.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
I think that's fair.
Okay, so that, and I think that's kind of where me and Luke are coming from. This is not obviously the pinnacle of horror movies by any means, but it's also not the bottom of the barrel drudge trash that I think a lot of people try to portray this movie as.
Right, but I also have something that I like to call the offensive factor, in which case this movie is like a 9. I find this movie horrible in terms of offensiveness. But again, that's, I understand where you guys are coming from. I respect your opinions, and I appreciate you coming in so prepared for all of this. That's kind of why I wanted to have you on, because I thought it would be an interesting conversation, not necessarily a fight, but like an interesting conversation.
Oh, no, we want to fight.
Because like I said, you guys are really well-researched and probably more researched than me, where I just kind of go with my gut when I feel when I watch these things. And yeah, this, I think my review of this movie was about a sentence long. It wasn't even a review, more as it was a summary in which I said something like, an old black woman sacrifices herself for a white family's happiness.
See, I think you're trying to make a big deal out of the race, though. Like, I feel like you're going out of your way to make a big deal about the race.
I don't think I am, if it's the only thing that I can come back with from this movie. And it was my initial feeling when I first watched it. I'm not reaching. It's my genuine opinion.
All right. I mean, in a lot of ways, to me, that makes Evelyn the best character then. Because, like, she's the only motherfucker who gives a damn about anybody else in the movie then.
It pays no respect to her at all, though. All right. It's, I don't know.
Well, to use your words, it is a quote-unquote fucking horror movie. So, like, how many of the victims do we really ever get to see paid respect?
That,
at the end of a Friday the 13th, just a fucking memoriam, you know, at Camp Crystal Lake of all the hundreds of names that have died.
Okay, but when I say that, I don't, obviously I love horror movies more than most things in my life, or else I wouldn't have a fucking podcast about it. But when I say fucking horror movie, I mean like shitty Hollywood movie that's obviously just made to make money and for no other real merit. I just didn't. I'm sure that the intent was there originally, but I think the end result is sad. And I hate seeing horror turn into this like weird marketing scheme of garbage. And so I can't respect films like this because it's ruining the genre, in my opinion. And I think there's so many amazing films coming out that aren't getting the recognition that they deserve because shit like this is taking over. And I get sad when things like this happen. So I am passionate about these types of movies, and that's just how I feel about it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I just didn't get the whole Blumhouse trying to keep the black woman down, but that wasn't my takeaway per se.
I understand, yeah. But that's just my mind. That's how my mind works when I watch movies, is I try to like pay attention to the social constructs of the films. It's just like, I don't know. That's where my brain goes analytically. Like, it's like, it's just something I pay attention to and try to pay attention to in everything I watch. So I understand where you're coming from. It's just, that's just me in general.
I feel like we're slowly pulling Carly to our side, though. And that's why she's not coming at it so strong.
She's
right now.
Currently wearing a Modern Horrors t-shirt.
Yeah. You guys can't see it. I think we're
secretly under my
slowly.
Sweater.
So Oculus is about to be 3-on-1. I like it.
Carly's just being quiet because she loves you guys. Go ahead, Carly.
I do so much.
Do you have anything else, final words, before we move on?
No, I will say, like, I didn't... my first reaction wasn't, like, the trying to keep the black woman down either.
Yeah.
But I just didn't really like this movie very much. I mean, I didn't hate
it's
it.
A five.
I didn't
it's a
like
five.
It. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's... That's pretty much how I feel about it.
Fart noises.
That's fine. We moved you from
fart
far
noises
left
in the microphone.
To center.
We agree with that. We agree that it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
You guys have like well-formed opinions. I'm just like farting in the microphone. Like.
And Amy, what do you think about it? Nailed it.
Let me drink some more. Okay. Okay, let's move on from Annabelle. To Oculus, also from 2014, the IMDb summary is, a woman tries to exonerate her brother, who was convicted of murder, by proving that the crime was committed by a supernatural phenomenon. It's directed by Mac. It's directed by...
And she loves him so much.
Michael Moore? It's directed by Mike Flanagan, director of Hush, Ouija, Origin of Evil, and the upcoming Gerald's Game. And it's written by Mike Flanagan and Jeff Howard. They have co-wrote Before I Awake, Gerald's Game, and they're doing an I Know What You Did Last Summer remake, believe it or not. Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's also based on the short story written by Mike Flanagan and Jeff Seidman. And believe it or not, guys, there is a movie coming out next week called Dobara, See Your Evil, which is a Bollywood remake of this movie for India. May 19th release date.
A dance routine would help this movie a
lot. I
fucking
really can't wait. Yeah. I need to see that shit.
With like a big sword somehow.
I want to see it so bad.
I can't. Like, I just want to see it so badly. I'm so excited about it. Mike Flanagan like tweeted about it the other day and I was like, I'm a huge Mike Flanagan fan. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but I fucking love Mike Flanagan and will defend him to the death. So love him more than anything. Love, love, love him. Okay. So... let's start with Carly, since she's the quiet girl in the corner. why don't you jump off your thoughts?
I love this movie so much. And this was the second time I've watched it. I'd watched it once before. And so I was kind of excited to revisit it, especially because of this episode. I love Karen Gillan. Now, I don't even remember when the last time I saw this movie, but apparently, like, the brother in this movie was Prince Philip in Maleficent, which I think is hilarious. But I love the idea of this movie. The only issue that I had with this, watching it this time, was that, like, I just think that they're absolutely crazy for wanting to, like, get in front of this thing again. Like,
totally, totally.
That's the only, like, I don't know. But
the only issue?
What was that?
I said, you said the only issue?
Okay, well,
like, that is
we'll
your
see.
Sole
it
issue.
It is the only issue. This movie is almost perfect.
I'm just making sure that that is the only one.
It's basically flawless. Continue, Carly. Don't ignore the men. Girl power. Keep going, girl. I got your back.
I really like how you kind of don't really know what's going on in the movie. Like, you think it flashes back and you're current, and then you have to, like, watch the video. I don't know. I just think this movie's so creative and so interesting. And at the time that I watched it the first time, I just remember it being super refreshing because it was so original. And yeah, that is how I'm going to start this segment off.
I love it. Boys, do you want to jump in at all?
So I'll jump in on this one for
do
sure.
Do we ever?
So to be fair, this I watched Oculus one time, I think I alluded to earlier, before my viewing last night. And I just couldn't get into it, like, in any way, shape, or form. I thought it was tedious. I thought it was boring. I thought nothing ever happened. So going in last night, I was like, okay, maybe I was in a bad mood, because that happens all the time. The first time I watched Martyrs, I fucking hated it. I was like, this is the most boring thing in the world. Watched it a couple years later, and I thought it was incredible. So I was like, maybe I can go in and like, turn this into a 3-on-1 against Jacob and flip the script on some motherfuckers real quick. But I can't. I still thought it was... totally tedious, laborious, so fucking predictable. Every line, you can see what's going on. It follows no rules by any stretch of the imagination. It's just schlock is all it is. It's no good. And Flanagan's Flanagan's a talented director and a talented writer, but he's just, you can tell this is his first movie. He didn't know what the fuck was going on.
This was not his first movie.
Then he has no excuse.
Absentia was definitely done before this movie.
Well, I can understand why you feel that way, though. Like, I definitely understand why, like, this is a slow movie. It's not, like, fast-paced by any means. I really like it because I really like getting to explore and see the relationship between the two siblings and kind of, like, what they went through when they were younger versus how they're handling everything after the fact. Mm-hmm. I really like that kind of, like, almost character development. And so I definitely understand, like, that this movie isn't for everyone, but I personally thought it was, like, super interesting just to, like, on that side of things, I guess. But I understand how it could be slow.
I agree 100% with all that. Like, I think there's a good story in here to be told and enjoyed by people. But the duality of the different time frames that skip back and forth just sort of arbitrarily, there's no reference of what reality is. So you never really know like what reality is and what it isn't, because it doesn't play by any rules at all. I didn't like any of it, to be honest with you. There's not much more I can say than that.
Jacob, let's hear from you. What's your thoughts on this?
All right, let me take you down a trip of memory lane of my Saturday night of revisiting Oculus. I, too, am man enough to admit when I'm wrong. Unfortunately, today I am not wrong. I paused at 15 minutes just because I was curious of how long I had been stuck in this mirror universe. Had been stuck for 15 minutes, nothing had happened. 20 minutes pause, nothing had happened. 40 minutes, nothing had happened. An hour and 8 minutes, things were kind of starting to happen. This movie is the perfect sleep aid. I think the first time I watched it, I actually had to rewatch the end of it because I did fall asleep.
I did too. I swear to God, I did too. Yeah,
almost no difference here. Once again, like you said, Luke, there is no... It's trying to do this weird Tarantino timeline kind of thing where it's like, oh, it's all mixed up together and maybe at the end you'll figure it out. But you don't. You don't know what's real. You don't know if the past is the actual timeline or if the future is the actual timeline or the present, or it's intertwining and nothing makes fucking sense.
The only thing you know for sure is exactly how it's going to end.
Yeah. And this is the most predictable movie in the world. I watched it with my wife, who watches no horror movies. She actually watched Annabelle with me too. Scared her. We watched Oculus. She spent the whole movie just predicting what was about to happen. And I was like, see, this is how sad this movie is. And furthermore, why is it called Oculus? Oculus has nothing to do with a mirror. Matter of fact, this movie has almost nothing to do with a mirror. Like, the mirror shows up, and then it's like glowy eyeball people. Like, what is it? Is it the mirror that's getting me? Is it the glowy eyeball people that's getting me? Like, I like Homeboy from Empire Records, but
sure, yes.
Whatever, dude.
The glowing eyeball people are the people that were victims of the mirror and are the inhabitants of the mirror that caused the
issue. We needed that. Thank you.
I think a lot of people probably needed that. I mean,
I don't think anyone needs that. That's very clearly stated.
You know what? You're
stated.
Actually right. No one did need that because there's like a 10-minute segment in the movie where she explains all that for 10 minutes straight.
Except one really fucking important one, which is where, like, how Annabelle did the cool thing with Wolves at the Door, where it's this expanded universe.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if you know, but in Ouija, the Origin of Evil, which Flanagan also directed, there's a shot of the mirror in the basement towards the end of the movie, which would be like, oh, that's a Ouija 2, which is a decent movie, and Oculus are in the same universe, right? Except when she's spending 15 goddamn minutes showing up every single victim of the mirror, that family's not inside there. So,
surprise.
So,
what could have happened afterwards? Couldn't it have? Especially since that movie came out
after. No, because that movie happened in the fucking
movie.
60s, and she goes through all that.
Well, oh, I didn't see it.
Well,
so I don't know.
With the fucked up timeline, I guess anything's possible, right? Because there's no rules to this.
You
can
do
anything. Can one of y'all explain the rules?
She also said that they lost track of the mirror for some years at a
time.
That
was in the 1800s, yes.
How are you going to keep track of the timeline of a mirror as someone who has access to Google? Like, she only has so many access to so many of the stories.
It's only Google, right?
All of them.
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
I'm sure she's using Google to, like, find these things. Like, it's not like she can know, okay, the mirror was here, and then it was here, and then it was here. She did the
but
best
she did.
Could.
She did that for 15 fucking minutes.
She really did, which
not,
is amazing. It's
it was
the
not
most
15
amazing
minutes.
Part.
It was maybe 6 minutes. You're
which
exaggerating.
Which is so much better.
By a lot.
Hyperbolic.
Yeah, it really
statement
is.
Strip
and
aside.
I thought that that segment was really effective. I really liked that segment. I thought that the part where she's chewing through the wire, that's fucking crazy, and the picture of that was insane. I thought that was super effective. Drowned, like, laying in a bathtub for 3 days and dying of dehydration. Also super creepy, and what the fuck?
I almost did that like 2 weekends ago. I drank way too much. I woke up in a bathtub and I felt like I was gonna die.
I thought that was you
that
in
crazy.
That bathtub. It looked kind of like you, I'm not gonna lie.
No, for sure. You have no idea.
The idea of that is creepy, but the execution within the movie, not creepy.
And that's the
See,
whole
I
thing.
Disagree.
Like, even the
I thought
story
it was
could
super
be cool.
Effective. I disagree. I thought it was super effective.
I mean,
thought
if we just saw
that
her breaking her own bones.
Hey, Amy, talk now. That's your chance, bitches.
Go ahead. Okay. Amy. This is your podcast.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on here. This just makes me so happy. If you even knew knew how much I love to argue, like, you wouldn't know how happy this makes me.
She,
like,
really does, and I don't give her that fire.
She doesn't. She does not at all. Like, it's, we agree on too much, and I get mad. I'm like, fucking disagree with me sometimes so I can yell at you. I just love it so much. No, it's it should be a compliment that I had you on here so that we could argue together, because that means that I respect your opinions and I know that you'll argue with me. And also, like, to me, that's like how I show love. I show love by arguing with people. It's my favorite. So just for our audience, so they know I didn't just invite people on randomly so I could yell at them. <It's>,
we're the whipping boys.
There's more love beyond that. You know, there's more substance to it. It's like Annabelle, where there's substance. It's just buried really fucking deep and no one knows what it is.
See, now she will acknowledge it. So here it is.
We're getting there.
It's buried so deep where no one will find it ever.
That's the point. Like, when you hire a fucking treasure, you want to put it on eBay? Like, when you, like, you gonna fucking tell everybody where it is? No.
A treasure.
Treasure. You're calling Annabelle a treasure? Do you really want to go on the record as doing
treasure,
that?
A fucking treasure, yes.
Fuck you. So anyway, even my husband was watching this and he was like, yeah, there's no way they're right. Sorry. Okay, moving on.
He's your husband. He has to say that, I promise.
It's true.
That's not true. He doesn't. He loves arguing with me, too. he's got to live with me. Poor guy. So anyway, you guys were calling, like, a lot of this arbitrary and boring, and, like, the mix between the present, the past, and these hallucinations were arbitrary. I didn't find them arbitrary at all. I thought that they were very well formalized. And I think that, you know, you start off with the present, and then they slowly start remembering the past, and then they have these hallucinations, and it's just part of the journey that you're learning with them, like, what's a hallucination and what isn't, and what are they seeing and what aren't they seeing. And that's where the fear comes from. That's what makes this movie so awesome. There's so many fucking mirror movies out there, haunted fucking mirror movies. Oh, yeah. And this one stands apart in a very real way and is a lot of people's favorite kind of mirror horror, if you will, only because it does that. Like, it gets in your head and it fucks with you. Like, mirrors are known in reality. You put a mirror in front of you and it distorts you. You know, whether you recognize it or not, mirrors are pieces of glass that are flawed. And you might think you look one way to the world. That isn't necessarily true. And there's just a lot of, like, coolness there. There's also a lot of, like historical and religious prevalence here, in that people believe that mirrors can steal your soul and all this stuff, and you have to keep them covered. And if someone dies, especially, I think it's in Judaism, where you're supposed to keep a mirror covered if someone dies, so that their soul doesn't go into the mirror or something like that. Sorry, Carly, if I just offended Judaism. I don't remember the total fact about that.
I'm good.
Okay. Carly, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a professional
Judaist.
Oh, man. We're getting crazy.
Theologist, I'll say. but I, you know, I just think there's a lot of substance there. I think it's really fun to be like, is that real? One of my favorite scenes is when she grabs the apple and bites into it and it's a light bulb. Like, how fucking creepy and freaky is that? Like, totally, yes. Like, it's such a long segment and it's so effective, and it really just, like, makes you gag and, like, oh my gosh, she just chewed on a light bulb. She's pulling out this huge piece of glass and just, like, blood spurting out of her mouth. Like, it's so effective. It's so great, and it fucks with your head. Like, what's better than that?
I'll give you that. So the light bulb shot was really cool, but, like, okay, I'm not surprised. Yeah. So, like, I thought the light bulb shot was cool, but to go back to what you said just before that is, like, hey, you're always trying to figure out, like, what's real and what's not. Like, the answer is relatively clear from the get-go. None of it. None of it's fucking real.
Right.
Like, it never is. Like, anytime something cool happens, you know, as a viewer, oh, that's not real.
I would also like to point
out, that's not true. She killed the guy. Okay. She legit killed that guy.
We think.
We think, because then he's posted up fucking in the cut laughing whenever she comes back in the house. So, did she? We don't know.
Yeah, she killed him.
Okay.
You think so?
Fair enough. I just want to point out that we got a whole history lesson on fucking mirrors, but yet I'm reaching too far on Evelyn. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yours seem out of nowhere. Mirrors, I've known that for a long time. And mirrors freak a lot of people out. seriously. No, I did, because I have always been freaked out by mirrors. Even as a young girl, I've been freaked out by mirrors. I've seen a couple different movies that show mirrors as a quote-unquote monster or a character even, which I think very much in this film, the mirror is its own character.
Well, is it?
With all due respect, sure, just because you've known something for a long time doesn't mean when someone brings something new to the table that you haven't known for a long time that perhaps they did, doesn't make it a reach.
Oh, shot fired. Shots fired.
yes, it does.
Pop, pop.
yes, it does. Cool, because they're wearing the same color dress. Really? What does that even fucking mean?
It's called symbolism.
Oh. Come on. Oh. Symbolism.
I didn't notice that. So...
Oh, you know what? The main character.
Clearly.
The main character in Annabelle also wears lime green all the time. What does that mean? What's the
it's
purpose?
For green screen purposes. Mostly.
She loves lime green. It's her favorite color. There's
got to
be
Oculus
a purpose
right
there.
Now, Amy. Please stay on track.
Okay. Sorry, I brought up a point that you didn't like. Okay.
You brought up a fucking wardrobe decision. Like, what is that?
Well, you're talking about wardrobe decisions too, because Evelyn's wearing fucking white. Go fuck yourself.
Purpose.
Come on.
With a purpose.
With
I just
purpose,
wish this movie about a mirror had more mirror action in it.
It has lots of mirror action.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I thought the plants dying was super effective. You could see how far the
that's
hallucinations
plant action.
Are
those are plants, yeah.
Through.
Mirror didn't do anything.
Super
it,
great.
It literally just sat there
the whole time.
Are you saying because there's nothing coming in and out of the mirror that it's not effective?
No, that happens at the end with some terrible CG shit with the mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think it looked terrible. I thought it looked fine.
Give us half an hour. We can do better. Let's get together.
I love Mike Flanagan. Don't make me cry. I'll cry.
It's clear.
I love him so much.
No, he's good. Like, I just don't understand. Like, a lot of times, because I was kind of late to the Oculus party, so people around me were talking about it and saying how fucking awesome it is, and the ending is crazy. So I was really excited going into it, because these are people that don't normally watch horror movies. And anytime that I hear, like, the hive mind speaking publicly and optimistically about something, I get interested. So
yeah.
I watched it, and like Jacob said, I fell asleep the first time just because there was just nothing going on. And I get it. It's like, it's not that kind of movie. It's not a balls to the wall sort of like, you know, thrill fest. It's supposed to be more psychological. But even the psychological stuff, like, just didn't. It's just this big circle jerk of like, oh, here's something crazy. Oh, it's not real, though. Oh, here's something crazy. Oh, it's not real, though. Oh, here's something that's going to give away the movie. Oh, yeah, and it gave away the movie. Like, that's the entire thing.
I mean, a lot of it was real. I don't know why you keep saying it wasn't real. I'm missing the part where something happens and it's not real. They're hallucinations. The hallucinations are real. Yeah, yeah, but they're hallucinations that are real, and it's affecting the characters.
Okay.
It's making them
so
crazy.
Okay. I've taken some psychedelics in my day, and I promise the shit that I saw was not real. I can assure you that.
But the effect on the characters is real, and how it's affecting the characters and making them move forward in the story is real. And it's
sounds like a reach.
I just thought it was really effective. I think when I first saw this movie, I was like, this looks fucking stupid. As I
Correct.
Usually do, or as I used to do with Mike Flanagan movies, I find his trailers to be horrible in comparison to the movies he actually puts out, which I think are usually way above what people expect of them.
That's a good thing.
I think usually I watch a Mike Flanagan trailer, I'm like, fuck, that looks bad. Or even Carly and I said when we watched Hush for an episode of this podcast, we were like, this just doesn't look interesting. The cover doesn't make us think anything. And even reading the story, it doesn't sound very great. But yeah. He always just kind of brings it to another level that you're not expecting. And he's a great storyteller. So I find... when I first saw this movie, I was like, fuck, this was my first Mike Flanagan movie. And I was like, fuck, this looks terrible. And I watched it and I loved it. And I watched it again, like an hour later, because I liked it so much. And I was so surprised by it. I think being surprised by it also helps. At least it did for me. I was really expecting to be like, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to shit all over it. And I was like, wow, this is really good and really creative and really different than anything else I've seen in this type of horror movie.
I was the same way when I first watched it. I thought, like, oh, what am I getting myself into?
I agree. It's a shitty title. And Mike Flanagan's not great at titles. He's not great at titles. He's not great at marketing. His films fall short. That's why he seems to have a lot of issues getting his movies out there. It sucks.
A tiny violin out here for Flanagan. Good God.
No, I'm just saying because...
a little bias, right?
Well, I'm just saying because one of his movies didn't even fucking get released the way it was supposed to. The only way to watch it is to fucking go to rent to buy it from Amazon Canada. Like, it's Before I Wake. If you one of his movies that he's been wanting to make since forever, it's his baby, really, and it didn't even get released. I'm just saying, I don't think he gets the respect he deserves in the horror community.
Tell that to Netflix. They're signing that motherfucker up for everything on earth. Like, every original program they have is going to Flanagan.
Well, now they are, but I'm just saying, like, people kind of shit on his movies before watching them, I think, typically. And I hope that he starts getting the respect he deserves. And I'm excited about his projects coming up. And I'm really excited for Gerald's Game. And I understand where you guys are coming from. I disagree, but I think that's just a difference of opinion in what you look for in a movie. I don't necessarily think it was ineffective. It just was ineffective for you.
Yeah, I mean, to make it clear, like, I like Mike Flanagan. Like, I'm really excited for Gerald's Game. I didn't like Before I Wake. But I thought Hush was rad. I thought, believe it or not, like, I thought he did a really good job with the Ouija sequel. He has some awesome camera work in there. And to make that steaming pile of shit, like, be a decent movie, that takes skill.
Totally.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see a sequel to a shitty movie.
He did his damn thing there. So, like, I appreciate the guy. And I think, I mean, I kind of disagree that, like, you think he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. I feel like everyone in the genre is championing Flanagan right now.
Yep.
I think everybody loves him, which is why he's getting all these opportunities. He had a bad run with Before I Wake in the release in the distribution cycle, but that company has done that to other movies in the past and continues to do it in the future as well. So, I mean, that sucks for him, but I feel like he gets a lot of respect.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just am, like, sensitive to it. I don't know if you guys heard, but when I went to Monsterpalooza, he had a panel and there was like 20 people there. It was so insulting and I was so disgusted by it that, like,
well, it sounds like you fell in a lake and he fucking jumped in and rescued you and you have an allegiance for the rest of your life.
I fucking love him. I seriously do. I seriously love him.
Blood,
and I think part of the reason why I love him so much is because he makes these movies that look normal, like tropey, whatever Hollywood movies, and they surprise me every time. And I think he's that good. Surprise factor just brings me to another level with him. I just appreciate him and his face and everything.
he's good. Oculus just isn't, but he's good.
Okay, so before we move on, because I think we're done, right, with this?
You think it was unpredictable? I think it was the most predictable thing that's ever happened, but that's fine.
Jacob,
disagree.
No one asked you.
You actually did, because you asked me to be on this podcast.
I'm just kidding. I Know What You Did Last Summer remake, I just read it, like, when I was putting my notes together for this show, and I just quick thoughts on how you feel about an I Know What You Did Last Summer remake with Mike Flanagan, Jeff Howard writing team.
I just don't know why.
It's got to be better than Oculus.
I'm so confused by it.
Carly, you want to go first?
I just don't understand why. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it, so, like, I don't really know anything about it, but I just, that movie doesn't need to be remade, I guess. So why? That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I'm down. 100%, I'm down. Anything that is going to be slasher-esque, I mean, to be clear, like, I didn't like the first I Know What You Did Last Summer movie. Like, I thought it was kind of bullshit. I dig Freddie Prinze Jr. I don't know, like, anything that can keep, like, the slasher genre alive, even if it's teeny bullshit, PG-13 rated, like, whatever, man, just pump some money into it. It'll probably make not a lot of money, because I feel like a lot of the mainstream will share the same sentiment as Carly, and I'm assuming you, Amy. But Flanagan, like you just said, he's got a way of turning things in that you think is going to be bullshit into something really cool.
Totally.
And I think at its core, I Know What You Did Last Summer was a cool idea, just maybe not executed to the best of its potential. So maybe if anyone can squeeze that potential out of it, it's probably Flanagan.
Yeah. I mean, I can get behind that. Jacob?
I am always 50-50 with Flanagan. So I either love his shit or I hate it. And don't think I've run across too many where I'm on middle ground with him. And that puts me in a tricky situation, because I always have to go in and give whatever new product he has a shot, because I just don't know where I'm going to be with it. Yeah. And as much as I'm with Carly and I don't really see the need for a remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer, fuck it. I'm down. Let's see it. Let's see what happens.
To be clear, I will watch this movie.
Right.
To be clear. Yeah. But I just
isn't
don't understand.
Isn't the one with the suntan bed kill?
Yes.
Or almost kill?
I thought that was part two, right?
Yes.
I can't ever keep it,
when
them
they're
straight.
In Brazil or something.
Yeah, yeah, when they're okay. Carly, yeah, the deep cut in Brazil. Yeah.
As a pasty motherfucker, that
guys,
terrifies me.
I saw
me.
That movie a lot.
Oh my god. I was never really into this franchise. I just remember like Jennifer Love Hewitt and that's
yeah,
it.
You do.
Yeah, I'm down for anything Mike Flanagan, although I do have the same like initial response as Carly, which is what the fuck, why, like what's the point? But you know,
the answer
I have
is
no
always money.
I need to stop doubting Mike Flanagan because I have no reason to, and whatever he says goes, and I will watch it.
Damn, Flanagan is God.
A day will come when I don't like one of his movies, but it has not occurred yet. And so
it is not this day.
So we've got Flanagan writing a piece for the website, and I'm going to make sure that he throws in a little
really?
Shout out to you real quick.
I am so in love with him.
Oh my god, she will
I
be
was
so
like
excited.
The only person, I was like the only person that asked a question during that panel, and I was like wanting to like chase him afterwards because I'm so in love with him. And he didn't. He was obviously rushing off to somewhere else, but I was really sad that I didn't get to say hi and
to his wife and children.
My question was actually about his wife. I don't love him.
Is she alive? Is she around?
Yeah,
right. No,
I know
about Kate Siegel, okay?
What's
don't
her
even
schedule?
Start. She was in Oculus also, and she co-wrote Hush with him. I'm well aware of his wife. I'm just saying,
clearly.
And I don't love him in a weird sexual way. I just think he's, like, awesome, and I admire his writing, like, a lot. Let's take a quick break, because I'm going to pee my pants, and we can move on.
That's a good podcast right there.
Baby, I can bear you to a kiss from a rose on a grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah.
Okay, guys, and that brings us to our newest segment, which is called
Social Media Question of the Week.
Today's question is, or this week's question is, would you rather have a possessed mirror or a possessed doll in your house, and why?
At Boss Captain Ross says, the mirror, so I don't have to explain to guests why I have a creepy-looking doll hanging around my house.
Valid.
That's our boy, Ross.
Elizabeth, who is my spirit animal, said, possessed mirror, because no one would suspect since I drank so much champagne, you guys. Possess mirror because no one would suspect it. I'd keep it in an isolated room where people of only my choosing would pay it a visit.
Ooh. With a Maleficent gif, by the way.
Yes. She's so evil and I love it. All of her answers to these questions are like the most evil shit ever. She's my favorite.
At the Giant Be With You says a possessed mirror. It goes into the closet with a sheet over it and nothing happens as long as it stays unseen, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I mean, that's true, I guess, except maybe not in Oculus. That thing seems to like have an effect.
It has a reach.
No, nothing would happen, I promise.
If so much would happen. So much hallucinations and horribleness would happen. Such a scary movie. At Don and Ellie says, possessed mirror, I already have somewhat haunted dolls. I don't need a real one.
Oh,
a mirror, though, I can live with. I'm sure there's a story there.
It sounds
sure
like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy B says, a possessed doll. I could totally get my Transformers to protect me from their fellow toy. Okay.
I like that.
Is that how haunted dolls work? Is that other dolls can save you?
Have you seen Small
in
Soldiers?
His world.
Or Toy Story?
No. Yeah. So good.
All right, Tommy B. Rachel says, not a possessed doll. After growing up with Slappy from Goosebumps, I'll take a mirror any day of the week.
Nice.
I remember Slappy from Goosebumps. Same. Did you guys ever read Goosebumps?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Slappy's fucking creepy, man. I'm not big on, like, scary dolls. I don't find them scary usually, but I do remember Slappy.
It's a hell of a name, too.
Yeah, seriously.
It really is.
Sammy S. says, likely the possessed doll, only because I recently rewatched Puppet Master and Dolly Dearest.
Mm.
Dolly Dearest, deep cut.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. S. Evil. S. Veal. I don't know how to say that name.
Probably
S.
not says, Veal.
Delicious.
S. V. L.
Yeah.
S. V. L. Okay. S. V. L. says, mirror, but only if it was a single mirror and not all mirrors, because I take my chances with 7 years bad luck and smash that fucker. But you can't smash the Oculus mirror.
It won't let
trick you every time.
Unless you shoot it, apparently. And then it kind
of. Well, unless you shoot someone in front of it, right?
So yeah.
The rules
perhaps.
Are foggy.
Yeah. It's murky to say. Yeah.
Stacey Beth via Instagram says, as scared as I am of them, I feel like I'd pick a possessed doll because they seem like they'd be fairly easy to get rid of. Mirrors have always scared me, so a possessed one is out of the question. But Annabelle keeps popping up, right? You try to throw her away, she does not take that.
Possessed dolls tend to do that. That's the kind of their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which also, like, the first time I saw that shit in a movie, it wasn't a possessed doll, but my head stopped working. It's too much champagne. Carly, why you let me drink champagne and do this shit?
I don't know. You're the one that pressures me to do it.
Oh, that's true.
For entertainment.
Just because I don't want to drink alone, I feel like I'm an alcoholic if you're not drinking. I was going to say the changeling, when that happens with the changeling, when he throws the ball and it comes back, that shit freaked me out. That was like the first time I saw that shit. So effective. Cat Black says, a possessed mirror, because at least I would be able to gaze upon my beautiful visage whilst being possessed by said mirror.
Like it.
So like poetic the way he speaks. I love it. How do you guys feel about this answer? What would you rather have in your house?
I would definitely.
Jacob, you first.
Oh, sorry.
Jacob's first, Carly.
I just wanted to jump in it.
Oh, yeah, she's excited. She's got a reason. Well, I will say, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot, almost all the people, minus like, what, 2 or 3, picked possessed mirrors, and there's a good reason for that. Because possessed mirrors aren't that scary. And so, yeah, I'll hang that shit up in my house, no problem. Possessed mirror all day, every day.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you think?
So for me, like, I'm going to go the opposite direction, right? Because I hate the fact that everyone just assumes that if you have a possessed doll, that it has to be malevolent. Like,
well, yeah.
Get me a little buddy, right? Like, I'm trying to go out, like, go to Panera. Like, it's, like, mischievous. It pulls a chair out from under me, and we're on the ground just laughing.
Like one of those Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah. Just have a good time. Have a little buddy with me. Like, could it slit my throat in my sleep? Maybe. But, you know, I'd be willing to. I mean, I could get hit by a
mouse. You'll take that risk, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Who knows? Give me the doll.
Cart.
I don't have that many like friends, that. Jacob.
Yeah, that kind of just sounds like a kid. But yes. Good. Carly, your thoughts?
I would definitely choose a possessed mirror because, I don't know, dolls are so creepy looking. Yeah. Like, why anybody would want a doll that looked like Annabelle in the first place, even if it's not possessed, I don't get it.
Companionship.
Something scary.
I'm also going to say possessed mirror, although I'm fucking terrified of mirrors. I don't know. Mostly because of my reflection, I guess. But like, I feel like I could like hide it, so then I wouldn't have to look at it, and it would be okay. Like a doll, they like to like fucking show up places that they're not supposed to be. That shit would freak me out. I feel like possessed mirrors typically stay where they're put.
So what I'm hearing is possessed doll scarier than possessed mirror. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't think that it's scarier. I think just in my. Ow. It just hit my eardrum.
They're more mobile.
They're more mobile is really what I'm saying. I think that they can do less damage, but then I would have to like feel like I'd have to keep looking over my shoulder. Whereas with, you know, it's the same thing as our question from last week. Would you rather have a zombie attack or a giant monster? And I pick a giant monster because at least I can hear that fucker coming and prepare myself.
See, I was amazed.
You know, I can kind
that.
Of know when a mirror is going to attack. I can't know when a doll's going to, that thing can move. It has legs for some reason and it can move. I don't like it.
You just hear a little.
I'm going to say mirror.
Little scary.
Yeah, I don't like
a that cute little scuttle.
The sound. The cutest little scuttle ever. But if it presented itself, I could probably just like kick it and step on its face. You know, set it on fire.
So fucking violent. Make friends. Jesus Christ. You're not even going to try to shake its hand first? Oh my God.
Yeah. No, because dolls aren't supposed to move, Luke. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to just sit there and be creepy without moving. Once they start moving, it's a whole
it's
thing.
A game changer.
I don't like it.
Get it out there.
I've enjoyed
All right.
this segment.
Well, we promised you guys a rematch. Are you ready for a rematch of over, under, or under, over, or whatever the fuck you call it?
We're here.
We're prepared.
We're queer. Get we used to it.
Oh, shit. What up,
We are
Prince?
Totally used to it. We listen to your show on a regular basis. So we are totally used to it, and we are 100% accepting of it and love you guys.
I love it so much. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So let's start. We'll let the guests go first.
What?
So do we want to receive your question first or ask your question
it's
first?
It's your choice.
Oh, we get to make a decision. Well, how would you feel, Luke?
Let's drop one of ours first.
Okay. You want me to start since I got 3?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ladies, are you ready?
Yeah.
We are ready.
All right. Currently on IMDb, Mike Flanagan has 11 director credits to his name. 11.
Is that all you, girl. Under or over?
Don't be cheating either.
I'm not going to cheat. You can see me, so you can tell.
I don't know your tricks.
I have nothing. Not moving my hands. Okay, let me think. We're probably including short films. And also short films and also TV
directing. Since you're the biggest Flanagan fan in the world, like if you miss this,
I'm not, I'm not the biggest Flanagan fan in the world. I will never say that. Okay, so let me think. There's does it include future things coming out that's already up there?
It does. It's on IMDb. If it's on IMDb, then it's at least.
Then I'm going to say that 11 is low.
Okay.
It's going to be more than that.
That is under the actual number.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it with your teammate first?
Yeah, you got to let Carly in on this?
Yeah.
Carly, you just going to let her make this decision?
Big deal.
I mean,
I kind of live on his IMDb.
You're not
page.
Feeling
yeah,
this
yeah, she. I Yes, I support you.
Thank you.
Teamwork. 11 is under, right? That's what we're going with?
Yeah, that's what
if we're including everything that he's directed,
all
it's under.
Things.
Okay. Yes.
All right. It is under. 13 is the number.
Damn
yeah,
it.
Girl.
So happy.
All right. Doing my dance.
That gives
okay,
you
go ahead, Carly. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
The miniseries The Stand is 350 minutes long.
Oh, shit. Huh. Isn't that bitch like 6 episodes or some shit?
It was on 12 VHS tapes.
God bless.
I mean, not I mean, probably.
Oh, I thought you were saying so convincing. And I know that your grandma had like every VHS known to man, so I just assumed you knew that. 350 minutes. That seems a little low, doesn't it?
Let me
you go do some mathematics real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
Oh, the calculator will?
Yeah.
Seems fair. Hit me with it.
And we don't know the answers because I hid them on another page on purpose, so we can't,
so
give,
we can't
you
give it away.
Oh, that's so close.
Facial expressions.
It's almost 6 hours.
It's almost 6 hours. I said I thought it was 6 episodes. I'd be almost an hour an episode. Yeah. Oh.
It was that a TV series?
I think it was a TV series. Are so we have to take in
commercial breaks.
It's a mini series.
It's a mini series. I don't know about commercial breaks. It's not including
so
commercial
you don't
breaks.
Know the answer to this question.
I know that the
Nor
answer
can you
is that the. The number of
it's
minutes
not
does not include commercial breaks.
Okay, okay.
Correct.
So,
so that would be 6 hours, you know, with commercial breaks. That's about on track.
So is it?
I'm going to say slightly under.
So you think it's a little more than 350?
Oh, God damn it. This part confuses me.
Yeah, yeah. So you were saying it's under 350. So that makes that number over. 350 is over.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll go over.
Scroll it down. You are, wait, which one did you say?
They're incorrect. They said that the number is under.
Yeah, the number's over because we think it's 350 is over the actual number.
Yeah, it's not. It's 361 minutes.
Oh, just by a little
God
bit.
Damn it.
That's
shit.
Why I got confused. I was like, wait a minute.
All right, all right.
What did they say?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to write this down. Final Girls 1.
Yep. Yep. You don't have to vocalize it.
we
Modern Horrors. I do. I'm going to vocalize it. Modern Horrors 0.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you
zero,
to return the same
one.
Courtesy that we returned, that we showed you is all.
Yeah.
You know what? Hang on. Let me just speak to that point that you so generously brought up, Luke, that you guys seem to be spouting some nonsense on social media. That you let us win, is that correct?
I mean, that's what we're in the South. We're gentlemen, so that's what we normally do, especially when ladies come around for the first time. We want to make them feel welcome, not awkward.
Well,
just
that's
show
some
them a good
misogynistic
time.
Bullshit, and I
it's called Southern hospitality.
Ignore that.
Yeah. Chivalry's not dead. Chivalry's not dead.
Yes, it is. We are not in the South. We are in real life America.
Oh,
here in California.
Oh, that
you just lost a whole lot of
Southern listeners.
Just kidding.
I like chivalry.
Oh, now we're back.
Flip flopping.
I like chivalry.
No, I am super.
Carly, I like chivalry.
Carly, stop trying to be so sweet. I'm just kidding. No, but for real life, I know that that's a lie. I know that you guys tried really hard and you were really upset when you lost last time. I will not be letting you win because that's rude and I'm super competitive. So Now they're putting it out there now.
If we lose, they're going to just let us have it.
Because honestly, if we lose, then we lose, and I will be an adult about it, and I won't lie and make up garbage.
Like, I'll tell you this. I mean, fuck it then. I mean, we're just going to throw the game, right?
Now we'll never know. It's really sad. It's really sad that you have to move through life like this. Those Oculus
rules.
Yeah, there are no rules.
All right, next question. I think this is yours.
Oh, is this me?
This is you.
Okay. Speaking of Oculus,
mm-hmm.
on a budget of $5 million, Oculus went on to gross $40 million worldwide.
That is high. That is over. That number is
was
over.
Was it released theatrically?
Yeah.
It was released theatrically, and that number is, I believe, over.
Shows you how well we're going to do on this question if I was in charge of it. okay, yes, hi.
That's over.
How much? The actual number worldwide, mind you, and I did specify, is 43 million.
Oh.
I was not thinking of worldwide. That's my bad. Sorry, Carly.
That's the kicker.
It's fine.
All right. I admit defeat.
I had no idea either way. So I feel okay with that.
Could be 200 million.
Yeah, who knows?
All right, gentlemen. The body count in 1993's Army of Darkness is 87.
Holy shit. Oh, there's a lot.
Fuck.
Does that count like demons and shit too?
Counts all the bodies. All of the body
all
counts.
All the bodies.
Well, I fucked up the last one. So you've probably seen this movie more than me, so.
Yeah, but it's been a long time. Same. We need Chris Crumb for this one.
We do.
He would know this.
He would. Can we phone a friend?
87.
There's a lot of death.
Would he legit know that? That's impressive if he legit knew that.
We can find out.
We could find out. What do we go with last night? It was over. Were they trying to gamemanship them?
Yeah, maybe.
Would they go the same route again?
I don't think, all due respect, sure. I don't think they're that far into this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think their hearts are in it.
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. What do you think, man? You think that's a little low?
I do.
I think it's like 93 or some shit?
Yeah, 7,000. I mean, whatever. It's a little low.
The sky's the limit with this movie. We'll say that 87 is under.
All right. You are correct.
You are correct. That is under. The total body count in that film is 107.
Okay.
What's up?
That's
pretty fucking high body count.
7,000 on the dot.
Good job, boys.
Thank you.
Good job.
I don't know that the score is tied.
I guess I'll just let you win this time. All
right, ladies, are you ready for your next question?
Yes.
Sure.
John R. Leonetti. You may recognize that name from the movie Annabelle, maybe. Has 37 credits as a cinematographer on IMDb. You may see a theme here to these questions.
Shit.
37 credits as a cinematographer.
As a cinematographer. I know that's high. He did do
Child's Play 3. A lot of,
yeah.
There's one for free.
He's got way more credits as a cinematographer than as a director. I don't know if it's as high as 37, but he has been around for a while. I know. He did Child's Play 3. He did a couple Conjuring movies. He's got some quite a few things coming up.
Child's Play 3.
Definitely did Child's Play 3.
I think it's definitely around that number. I don't know if it's high or low, though, honestly.
okay. How many did you say? 37?
37.
I feel like that's high.
I think it's...
But maybe it's not. Maybe it's like slightly lower.
I think it's... I always get so nervous.
I understand. Take your time.
I think 37, because he did a lot, right? I think 37 is like just barely under.
Did do Child's
Yeah.
Three.
I think that he did a little bit more than 37.
Okay. There is only a couple Child's Plays.
See, I'm leaning the other way, but we'll go with you since I just fucked up the last one.
I'm sorry. Okay, yes. Slightly under.
Okay. Okay,
so that number is slightly
under. Okay, all right, that's fine. That's what you're going to live with. Whatever. It's 38. It was under.
Yes!
All right.
Good job, Carly!
Thank you.
You are the love of my life, and I appreciate you and all that you stand for.
Someone's pulling their weight.
Yep, somebody.
Hey, I got one right too. God, how many so did you guys get right again?
Me too, guys. I'm playing the game.
Okay, you guys ready? Oh, Carly, it's your turn to read.
Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger had to lose 35 pounds for his role in Predator.
God, he was fucking yoked in Predator, man.
I mean, you'd have to cut a leg off for Arnold to lose 35 pounds, right? I mean, dude's a giant.
Like that scene whenever he does the handshake with Apollo Creed.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude.
Fucking yoked. Just,
yeah. Now, the problem is, this question does imply that he did, in fact, lose weight.
Right, but he did do it for the role. Can you confirm or deny that? Or
did he just lose? I will confirm for this question. This is true. He had to lose weight for his role in Predator.
How much?
Well, that's for you to decide, my friend.
That's a veteran play right there. Veteran play.
I didn't drink that much champagne. Okay.
Damn.
Come on now.
35 is a shit ton of weight, though, man. Like, a fighter wouldn't cut that to go in, and they would look fucking shredded, losing 10 pounds.
Okay, but Arnold was a little more bloated before that role.
Sure. Not that bloated, though, I don't think. I could see him losing 20 tops, don't you think?
Yeah, 30's a lot. 20 would be, like, when you're that yoked, right. Losing 20 pounds is a lot of...
That way you just, everything looks swole. So that number is...
Probably high,
That number is over, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go over.
You are correct. He lost 25 pounds for that.
Yeah. We know a thing about sexy man bodies around here.
Oh, boy, don't we ever. You're not going to trick us with that.
Yeah, you do. Okay. So we are tied up 2-2, guys.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, shit. What a game. Oh, what a game. Go ahead, guys. It's your turn to read.
All right. Here we go. I brought the curveball for the last question. I hope you ladies are ready.
Why is it the last question? There should be two more.
We've got two more, Jacob.
We got two more? Yeah. Okay, my bad. The last question on my page. How about that?
Oh, gotcha.
Fuck
gotcha.
This. This is actually Luke's question.
Wait. Luke came up with a question?
Yeah, Luke came up with two questions.
Damn, Luke, I am so impressed with you.
Well, granted, it was done literally seconds before we called in.
We weren't going to say that, but yes.
That
doesn't matter. It was done. I'm proud of you. Way to go. Pat yourself on the back,
dude. I appreciate that.
Thank you, guys. We feel really good right now.
All right, so this is mine. This is mine. Okay. So, on a budget of six... All right, fuck it. On a budget of $6.5 million, Annabelle went on to make $250 million worldwide.
So, which one's the number that we're guessing? How much it made?
I think 250 Correct. Million is what he's saying. And we're talking the number that we have to guess.
Worldwide.
Yep, worldwide once again.
God damn it. I never look at that fucking number. I need to like look at it. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
Talking about Ethiopia.
I totally looked at it this morning too.
Talking about
Russia's got a couple movie screens.
Worldwide. Say the number again that we're over undering.
250 million buckaroos.
Worldwide.
That's so general. Remember the time that I did that one and it was like all these different numbers? So I'm going to say a little under.
Talking about the...
You think that number is less than what it made?
250 million. Mm. Yes.
I think it's higher than that.
I think what it made is a little bit higher.
I'll stand by, Carly.
Okay. So just so we're clear, like what...
We think that 250 is low.
Like it could be like 251 million or 252 million.
Yeah, we think it's
million.
higher than that.
So 250 is under the actual number.
Well, they're right. It's $256 million.
Wow.
Way to go, Carly. You are awesome. Carly's on a roll, guys.
She is. She's all-star.
Yeah.
It's my champagne. On your team. She's
my
awesome.
Champagne.
Yeah. Let's celebrate.
The elixir.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Salud.
It's my Darth Vader cup that's doing it.
I'll pretend like I didn't just spill that all over the table. Okay, you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so right now the score is 3-2. It's your chance to tie us again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the word fuck is uttered 52 times during the film 28 Days Later.
You know, that's not really a movie that you equate to, foul language.
Sure. If it would have been a zombie movie, easy. That is way under. No, like a Rob Zombie. I'm sorry, because it is a zombie movie. I didn't realize that I was a...
No, I got you now. I didn't. I'm glad you.
Yeah, clarified
for
that.
For a second, I was like, "Are we talking about the Sandra Bullock movie?"
Like, whoa. that movie's great. 28 days.
No, 28 days later.
Okay. Yeah.
Not Sandra Bullock.
Probably 52
times.
There's actually quite a few in that movie. That
I appreciate movie is, your Sandra Bullock reference.
I love Sandra Bullock. She's phenomenal.
So
that feels a little high.
You know, that's what my gut says as well. I'd like to think that Cillian Murphy has not as much of a potty mouth on him.
Maybe. I could see that motherfucker being filthy.
Well, he does gouge a motherfucker's eyes out with his thumbs. I don't think he has to say fuck when he's doing it.
It's kind of cool, though. He did, right?
I'd love to see that.
The only time I could see it amping up would be right at the end when the soldiers get involved.
Yeah, those military dudes, they'd be saying fuck all just over the place, nasty. Right? Just jar-headed, just fucking, yeah.
Gross. But still, 52,
that's not that many. We've probably said 52s on this show so far.
That's, yeah.
I mean, it's a major part of my lexicon. I don't know if you knew that, but I still feel under, though. I mean, I feel like that's over. That number's over.
I'm split.
You split? Yeah. I took the last one, so I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay, I'm going to say that there are more fucks than that.
Okay, so that number is under.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Let me scroll down because I don't know.
Oh,
the word fuck occurs 61 times. Hey! You win.
Boom!
Good job, boys.
Woo!
Okay, we are officially tied at 3-3.
All right. So now I get to throw my curveball, right?
Yes.
So I get to come in and throw
the
curveball?
We have one more question each. And okay. I don't have any backup, so if we tie, then we just tie, I guess. Yeah, I guess we'll have to play
off.
Again sometime.
Sing off.
Totally is how it's going down, yo.
I'm going to win.
Are you ladies ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Are you sure that you're ready? You're not sure?
She looks sort of sure.
She's perplexed.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go with it anyways. I'm going to assume that they're sure.
I'm so ready.
Okay.
We're so ready, dude.
I like it.
We're ready for you.
On the Phantom Podcast Network, the Final Girls Horrorcast has 1,000 listens from episode 17 to 31 as of 12:30 p.m. today. Central Standard Time.
I got nothing.
I love this question. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it so much. Okay,
this
let me
is an
think.
Amy question because okay. I don't look at our stats ever.
Carly doesn't pay attention to our stats at all. I'm going to do some math here. Give me a second.
Don't be cheating. Don't be cheating.
I see your hands moving. That could be a cell phone. That could be anything.
I am writing down numbers so I can do math.
You got to pull this right off the top of your
my
head.
She literally just showed me a giant
I'm putting
tablet
my cell
the internet
phone
pulled
right
up.
Right
oh,
no,
cheater.
My cell phone is right here. And my thing is back here. Okay. 24. Okay.
Just
I know
episode
that
17
at
to
first
31.
We were getting a lot of listens, and then we stopped getting as many, but I think we're over 1,000. What number did you say?
Just 1,000.
Just 1,000 total?
Just 1,000, yeah. From 17 to 31, though. Not your whole entire library. Just from 17
no,
to 31.
No, I know, but that's well over... That's well over 10, and I know at first we were getting a lot of listens, then you guys fucking hated us and stopped listening so much.
Sure did.
We have way more on our other device that we use. Let me think. I want to say that's under. I think we have
under?
More than 1,000.
Just cocky as fuck, huh?
No, it's not cocky.
Well,
I just think
it really
that
is, yeah.
Sounds a little cocky. got over 1,000.
Is 1,000 that many? Because I feel like you guys get 1,000 per episode.
Oh, that's definitely a fucking lie. But...
you guys are way more popular than us. I'm going to say 1,000 is under. I think we have more than that.
I agree with Amy.
All right. Just gonna follow like a sheep. That's fine, Carly.
I have no idea.
It is, in fact, under. You do have more than 1,000 for that little stretch of time. Congratulations.
Congrats, ladies.
Thank
congrats.
You.
See how
thank
we
you.
Took our last question to build you up?
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do it in the South.
It. You're great.
I really appreciate
how are you
going
to return
it.
That favor to us now?
I think the South is
by
lovely.
By talking about blood.
Yeah, we have a really great question for you that we know you'll know the answer to, just to return that favor, because we're so friendly.
They're putting the pressure on now. Know. We know that you know this.
If it involves cock, we got you, I promise.
There's no cock. I try to come up with a cock question or like a boobs question or something, and I couldn't find anything good.
That's a bummer.
Okay, so 41 gallons of blood were used in the first Scream movie.
Oh, God.
It's not like I know that off the top of my head. Right. I mean, yeah. I just watched Scream last night.
It should be something you know.
I thought about watching it last night.
There's a lot at the very beginning, for sure.
Steve.
Yeah. Steve got fucking soaked. And then towards the end, too, when a homeboy gets stabbed, and he's like, I'm losing here, man.
Yeah, man, come on.
My parents are
going to
be so mad at me.
I'm going to get in so much trouble.
I love Scream so much.
Me too.
I'm so gonna good. Say I gotta have a partner. I need my wingman on this one, Jacob.
I feel like 41 doesn't go as far as we might think for an entire movie, right?
Yeah.
How much do we remember how much the Blossy used?
No.
I don't either. That would give a decent reference. I feel like more though, right? Like closer to like fucking 50 gallons or something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it. Are we talking about the director's cut or the theatrical release?
Oh, good question.
Oh, come on, guys.
And this is for the filming, right? That.
When they were making it. So okay. I guess in total.
I guess all it encompasses everything.
Because here's the thing, too. If it encompasses everything, this would also include when they need to clean up and reshoot again.
For sure.
The take didn't go
and
right.
Whenever it went to the MPAA, they said that we don't allow flowing blood on screen, so they had to reshoot for that, which is, yeah.
That's more blood.
That's more blood.
That's got to be under, right?
It's got to be.
So great.
Let's go under.
Okay, so 41 gallons is under.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
Okay. Final answer.
Okay, they used 50 gallons of blood on the film. We are officially tied.
I do believe I said the word 50.
We are tied 4-4, which has never happened.
Sing off.
Yeah, okay. So who's singing first?
I mean, it's y'all
what are we singing?
Oh, man. I think
just kidding.
That's great. I'm very happy with the outcome.
We tied. We're both brilliant. We're both awesome. I don't know.
Good
I don't have a tiebreaker. So.
give me more wonderful words of how awesome we are. I like this
we
part
can do
of
that
podcast.
For a few more minutes. Yeah.
Congratulations. We're all awesome and we're all smart. And we all faltered one time and only one time because we're basically brilliant human beings. And you should listen to our podcast, both of them, because of that reason.
But basically what this means is it's a fucking cliffhanger. So we got to do this again at some
it
point.
It is.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Dun,
do you guys actually still want to do that? After dealing with my craziness?
Oh yeah, we love abusing you guys.
Yeah, after whooping that ass on Annabelle chat, for sure. Yeah, we were totally doing it again.
You are so cute. You guys are just the cutest. The most adorable of all the adorables.
Well, thank you guys very much. Yeah, we really, really like what you guys are doing. We really appreciate your fan base giving us some kind words here and there on social media and everything. So it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good time.
Thank you for being here. We always
enjoy
it.
We enjoy you guys and your faces and your podcast and your website and awesomeness. And yeah, we would love to do this again. I think that would be great.
All right. It's settled. Thank you, guys.
We're going to close out real quick. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our awesome logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for information on them. We still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, hit us up, FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com, and we'll just send them to you for free because we're awesome like that.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on DownrightCreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter, @FinalGirlsHC, and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
And that's it for today, my lovelies. Join us next week when we brave the disappointments room and satanic because we're feeling
crazy,
particularly down on ourselves.
It's going to be a rough episode.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of drinking on that episode.
It's
I can't promise the words coming out of my mouth will necessarily make sense. I will try. If you would like to stand in solidarity of us, and watch these films. They are both streaming on Netflix, although God have mercy on your soul if you choose to do so. but until then, that's it for this episode. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Thanks again to the Modern Horrors, guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye.